Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12. You have it right there at the top of your paper. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, with this particular lesson, we are concerned primarily with identifying the way that Jesus would have to do a thing versus or in comparison to the way that people try to do it. Now, a lot of times people would say, "Well, I'm going to do things this way and I'm going to do it that way. I don't see it the way you're showing it to me." And they end up going and doing it. Sometimes it turns out the way it's supposed to, and sometimes it doesn't. But definitely when it comes down to the issue of life, we have to make sure that we follow the way that Jesus says for it to be done. Now, as you see, we're living in a time where people are really not concerned with the way Jesus says for things to be done. As a people, everybody in their own mind has their own way of doing things. And you, according to the scripture, it says that when people do things which are right in their own eyes, it only results in confusion. It only results in turmoil. You say, "Well, where did all of this begin at? This idea for people to do things the way they want to do it?" Well, it started in the beginning. It started with the first man and the first woman. Jesus, when he created man and woman, scripture, according to the scripture, everything before he had created them was good, both very good. And then after he had made them, he made them in his image. His image was righteousness. Man was made in the image on the likeness of righteousness. Root word of that word righteous is right. In other words, they were not wrong, they were right. And he gave them specific instructions. He told them to be fruitful and to be multiply and to replenish the garden and to keep the garden. Also, he gave them an instruction. If you go over to Genesis chapter number 2, let's go over there really quick. Starting at verse number 8. Genesis 2 and 8.
"And the Lord God planted the garden eastward and east, and there he put the man whom he had formed."
All right. So you see right there, the thing that seems right. We live in society again where people have created three gods. They say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, again, that's seems right, but it doesn't go along with what Scripture says. If you notice what the Scripture specifically says, God formed the man, and he placed the man in the garden which he had made.
Right.
In other words, it wasn't, it would say they had made.
Right.
It wasn't more than one. If you look at Genesis 1 and 1, it specifically confirms that. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." One God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it says that God formed that man. He breathed into that man's nostrils, and that man became a living soul. Then he placed that man in a garden that he had created. According to the scripture, it says he planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So that one God formed that man. All right. In verse number 9, what does it say there?
"And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree of the field that is green upon the earth, to the sight." And good for food.
Right.
"The tree of life also in the midst."
Yes. So you see there, Jesus identifies himself, or God identifies himself as the creator, the one that causes things to grow or to produce. He's the one that caused every tree to grow in that garden and every tree to produce fruit out of that garden. And then he says he put that man there and he gave that man free rein, really. Every tree in this garden that man could eat. Now, I just want you to concentrate because you see a difference here. You see the choice, the concept of choice. Man is given the option to eat from every tree of the garden. Then Jesus specifically says what is there. He says the tree of life is there, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is there, right? Now, we jump down a little bit further. Go down to verse number 15. Now, that's a confirmation of verse number 8, right? Verse number 8 is basically saying the same thing. Verse number 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed there, right? And verse number 15 is saying the same thing. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to do. So man had a task. He had a responsibility when he was placed in that garden. Many people like to present that man was on a vacation. No, he was not on a vacation. He had a responsibility there. His task was to dress to keep the garden. All right? Next verse.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
Yes.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
Now this is amazing. Because again, verse number 9 says the tree of life was there. And then verse number 9 also says that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is there. Choices. But then Jesus puts parameters on those choices. He puts conditions on those choices. He says, do not eat from that tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Now, logically, common sense would tell you if everything that Jesus made was good, Jesus did not want man to know evil. I know it would be looked logically at that tree. It says it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus does not want man to know evil. Therefore, he tells that man, do not eat from that fruit. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? That's truth, isn't it? Shall surely die. All right, now jump over to chapter number 3, and let's look at 3 and 1. Now the serpent.
Now the serpent was more subtle
yes.
than any beast of the field.
Yes.
Which the Lord God had made.
Yes.
And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Uh-huh.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.
All right, now let's stop right there. Mm-hmm. We may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees that are in the garden.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do we already know about the garden? Jesus calls every tree that is there to be there. All of the trees bear fruit. And all of the fruit is good. All of it is good to look at. All of it is good for food, right? But Jesus specifically says, do not eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, the woman, you notice this serpent. Now, I don't want you to get so caught up in the serpent per se, but the spirit that is in that serpent. You notice, and this is where we learn a little bit from, we learn about our enemy from the very beginning. There's very few passages of scripture. We're learning about how the enemy operates. Satan operates in a way that he tries to get you to focus on an area that you don't need to be in. You notice that. Now, the garden is vast. There were lots of things to see in the garden. There were animals. There was a sea. There were fish in the sea. There was a sky to look at. All of those things that he could have identified. But you notice, what does he immediately go to? The area that has the parameters, the area that has the rules. And what does he say? The first thing that serpent says, Satan says, yay. Shall you not eat of every tree of the garden? You think about the devil, he always wants to set a doubt concerning the things that you know you should not do. And again, he tried to make that thing that you should not do, according to the text for this morning, to seem right. And this is what I'm trying to get us to understand. There is a way that seems right, but you've got to look at the results that you get after you go down that path. And you've got to learn from the errors of your ways, right? It doesn't turn into anything else. Wrong doesn't turn to anything else. It always results in death. It always results in a loss. And his enemy is doing something very clever that this woman is really not paying much attention to. Trying to cast doubt within the mind concerning truth. Now, he didn't come right out and say anything directly against Jesus. But again, the concept of what he's doing. Notice what he's saying. We already know Jesus says that they can eat of every fruit that is in the garden, every tree that is in the garden. But Jesus specifically tells the man, do not eat of one tree. And he tells him why he shouldn't eat of that one tree. You eat of that tree is going to bring you death. That's what Jesus says. The tree that he's telling you not to eat of, yes, it's going to give you knowledge. Knowledge of what? Both good and evil. But it's going to bring you death, right? That's the truth, saints. That's how the devil works. That's how he operates. And Luke, you learn a little bit more concerning the human. When the human starts to interact with that ungodly spirit, that spirit that is anti-righteous, when the human begins to interact with him, notice how the human responds. Say, yeah, we can eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is where? In the midst of the garden.
We can eat it in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it.
Shall you touch it. There you go. See how that devil, when you talk with him, he messes your mind up. Huh? And it don't take long for his spirit to infect you. Because you notice the Lord did not tell them that they could not touch it. He told them, do not eat of it. But when you talk to that devil, his spirit begins to infect your thoughts. Whether you want it to or not, it begins to infect your thoughts. Just like you said about entering into temptation. There's nothing wrong with temptation. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't control it. But what you can control is you entering into it. In other words, when you see it, leave it alone. When you see it, avoid it. Walk away from it. Run away from it. Resist it, right? Why? Because when you start to dibble and dabble in it, you're starting to play with something that you're not strong enough to deal with. Obviously, this woman was, Jesus is proving something to us. He's letting us know when that devil starts to talk with you, you are not strong enough to deal with Satan. I know that there's a message, there's a thought that's in the world that you're so strong, you just stomp on the devil's head and all this stuff. I'm trying to tell you, you and I are not strong enough to fool around with Satan. He means to kill, steal, and destroy your life, right? That devil make you think you're doing right when you're doing wrong. That's how he operates. He's a deceiving spirit. He's a liar. The scriptures called him a murderer from the very beginning. He abode not in the truth. The truth is not in him. You realize when he's talking to this woman, he's not talking truth. He's only starting lies. It's as though, you know, this virus that's going on, it tell you something. Oh, the coronavirus is so dangerous. It's so dangerous because it's airborne. And then they show those illustrations about how long your spit particles stay in the air. And then they say how you can walk by and be breathing. And you breathe that stuff in. And you don't even realize you get it. And you just all of a sudden go, I'm trying to tell you, you need Jesus to protect you in this day and time. Jesus is the greatest mask. Huh? Jesus is the greatest barrier. Now, this is how you know it's nobody but the enemy trying to prevent people from knowing the power that is in orchestrate or put categorize the place of salvation along with all of these other institutions that are in the earth. Jesus' ground is holy. Jesus' ground is sacred. If you are ever going to be saved from Satan and his attacks, it's in the church. Jesus himself said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, a place where you and I can talk to Jesus, right? Get the help that we need, right? That's the true saints. Get the help that you need. Tell you how messed up the mind of man is. They'll let you say, oh, they'll categorize certain things as essential. It's essential that you eat. It's essential that you have a hospital to go to take care of your body. But what about your soul? Huh? The care of man is not focusing on your soul. He's focusing on your belly. He's focusing on your body. But we have to understand a reality. A reality is Jesus, when he breathed into our nostrils, we were a dead, inanimate object before God breathed into our nostrils. When he breathed into our nostrils, according to the scriptures, we became a living soul. There's something more important than your body. It is called your soul. And the only one that can take care of the soul is Jesus, right? Jesus said, don't you fear the one that can destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy both body and soul. Jesus said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, right? That's the truth. That should be your concern. I'm not trying to say you go out there and just, you know, wallow in this. But I'm trying to tell you, don't let the world set your priorities. Don't let the world control your focus. Your focus has got to be on the thing that is more important to you. The thing that's more important to you is your soul. So what, you preserve your body another 20, 30 years? Where will your soul be at? Where will your soul be at when I stop breathing? Where will my soul be? Job said, man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he, right? Where is he? Where is he? Got to be soul focused. Eve, she wasn't soul focused. She was focused on that body, but she was not focused on that soul. The Lord done told you, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Seemed like to me, if I was focused on my soul, I would avoid that tree. I would be somewhere, once the Lord say, there's a tree that represents life, I would have run to that tree. Come on, saint, I would have ran to that tree. There has to be something in us that has an appetite to life. People ask you, why do you keep running the way you run, no matter what you go through? Because my soul wants to live. I realize Jesus is the only one that says, I am come that you might have life. And that moment, my soul wants to live, right? Lord, you let my soul live. I'll praise you, right? You don't have to coach me to praise Jesus. Just let my soul live. Therefore, when I come in contact with life, I get around some people that lift up the name of Jesus. I got life by the name Jesus. So when I hear that name, something inside of me spunks up, right? Something inside of me ignites, right? That's true. Why? Because there's something down on the inside. This life got to be on the inside. Got to be more than you just breathing in and breathing out. Oh yeah, I'm not trying to tell you not to pay attention to the doctors, but they're only focused on this process. You breathing in, breathing out. They're only focused on you not taking care of this. But Elder Scudder, the church is focused on your soul. Virus or no virus, just make sure your soul is right before you leave this earth. That's the truth, saints. Just make sure your soul is right before you stop breathing in this body. Why? Because after death, that's when the judgment comes, right? That's when the judgment comes. The last thing we want to do is stop breathing down here and think we're going to get something that we didn't work for. We're walking around thinking we're right, and we're just as wrong as can be. We're not lining up with the scriptures. We're not lining up with the word say, right? Come on, let's move a little bit more. Keep me moving a little bit further.
In verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die.
Ain't that what he is? He's a liar. Do y'all understand that? Call Satan for what he is. He's a liar. He does not have your best interest at heart. He has used this environment to promote and to advance his objective. Jesus told you the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Look like to me he's doing a real good job. He's dividing humanity. Nobody but the devil is a divider. He puts people focusing on things that they really should not focus on. Got the black hating the white, and the white hating the black. Man hating the woman, and the woman hating the man. Focusing on things you really don't need to focus on. What should I be focusing on, Elder Scudder? You need to focus on your soul. You need to focus on the real you. The you that matters. The you that caused Jesus to die on that cross. He didn't die on that cross for the color of your skin. He did not die on that cross because you were born a male or a female. He died to save your soul from sin. Jesus knows the wage of sin is death, right? That's the truth. Jesus knows the wage of sin is death. Jesus knows death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So nobody but the devil wants you to stay in your sin. Say, Elder Scudder, I gave my life to the Lord. The devil don't care nothing about you giving your life. Just don't get born again. Born again how? Born of the water and born of the Spirit. Nicodemus was a righteous fellow in his own eyes. But when he asked Jesus some questions he should have known the answers to, he was confused. He said, I know that you're a teacher come from God, because nobody can do these miracles that they're doing except God be with them. Little did Nicodemus know, he was talking to God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. God got into a body and named himself Jesus to deliver us from sin, right? That's the truth. He should bring forth the Son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he should do what? Save his people from their what? Only Savior is Jesus. Only deliverer is Jesus. Come on, saints. People look at you and say, Elder Scudder, you're just a simple man preaching about this name Jesus. Why? Because no other name can deliver you but the name of Jesus. One writer said, there is no salvation in any other. There's no other name. No other name. So, in other words, in order for me to be saved, I need a name. God took the time to put some power in his name. That God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should do what? Folk in hell are bowing down right now. Why? Because they resisted the name that could save them, right? Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Y'all know what that word Lord means? Self-existent one. One writer said, know ye not that the Lord, he is God. Come on, say, isn't that true? The Lord, he is God. If Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. There is no other. He doesn't bow down and pray to nobody. Why? Because he is the Almighty God, right? Why? That's why in the scriptures, when somebody touched him, they were healed immediately. When he spoke and told somebody that was dead, come back to life, they got up out that grave. Why? Because in him was life. Jesus is life, right? He is life. And nobody but the devil wants you to keep eating off of dead fruit. Fruit that is going to kill you. Oh, yes it is, saints. Fruit that is going to kill you. Lust fruit. Pride fruit. It's going to kill you. It's going to catch right up there to you. Trying to grab and consume all of this stuff. And this stuff doesn't satisfy the vacuum that is in the soul. Only one that can put a plug
Jesus. Jesus is the satisfier of the soul. That's what that woman got confused when she was at that well. She said, you ain't got a bucket to get no water out. Jesus said, I don't need no bucket. I'm the source of life. Hey, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me for some water, right? And I would do what? Give it to you, right? And when I give you the water that I got, it'll be in you. Huh? That's how you know the Holy Ghost don't want to be on you. Holy Ghost, Jesus wants to be in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And that way I got something to look forward to. Why? Because I got Jesus with it. That's why the devil don't want you to tarry for the Holy Ghost. The devil wants you to just run and say, I prayed this prayer and I got it. But if you look at the reality, how did you behave yourself after you say you got saved? Were you still cussing? Were you still drinking? Were you still smoking? Were you still upset? Were you still depressed? Were you still sad? Something's wrong. You need something on the inside. Huh? Inside you need some peace that only Jesus can give you, right? Lord done told you there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Wicked will always be like that troubled city, whose water will never cast up nothing but what? My and dirt. Huh? Jesus said that there's no peace, saith my God, to who? That wicked fellow, right? Wicked are gone astray. Huh? We turn every one of us to our own way. In other words, we're doing things the way we want to do it. Huh? And when we do it, it seems right. Huh? Why does it seem right? Because it satisfies my flesh. Huh? At the moment, it's satisfying my flesh. Huh? You go try to get that fella, say, come on out that bed you shouldn't be in. It's undervalued. He's saying, how you going to pull me up out the bed? I'm enjoying this thing right now. Huh? But I'm trying to tell him, once he gets through, he's got to deal with reality. You can only do it for so long, but you've got to stop that behavior. Tell me how you feel after it's over with. You're still bitter. You're still depressed. You're still longing for more. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul, right? That's true. That's why the Lord tell you to tarry for it. In other words, wait until you are endued with power from where? Not on the earth. Holy Ghost come from up on high. That's why the one writer said, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Oh, ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the king of, who is that king? Jesus is the king of glory. That king of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. I don't care what you're going through in your life. The Lord is stronger than it all. I'm trying to tell you, if you're a drug addict, you ain't got to go to no program. All you need is Jesus. Jesus can take that away from you immediately. You say, Elder Scott, I've been addicted to cigarettes and alcohol all of my life. I'm trying to tell you the power of Jesus. If you just lift up your head, stop focusing on what's in your hand. Stop focusing on what's on the shelf. And start looking up to Jesus. Look up to Jesus and say what? Lord, I'm looking up to you. I need you to be my king of glory. I need you to be strong and mighty. Why? Because I'm in a battle in my mind. This temptation, I done got in it, and I don't know how to get out of it. And what is it doing? It's killing me. It's taking my life, and I don't want to die. I want to live, right? You got to say that. Can nobody say it for you? You got to say, no. I don't want to die. I want to live. And only you can lift up your head. I can be down there, pick your head up all I want. Your head be like this. But your mind is still down in the gutter. Only one that can get down and break themselves down and get to that point where they say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Come on. Stop thinking you can talk to the devil. You can't negotiate with him. You can't outsmart him. You need somebody more powerful than Satan himself. And the only one that got the power to deliver you from the hand of Satan is Jesus himself. if you cry out to him with a sincere heart and let him know, Jesus, I need your help, right? Jesus, I need your help. Why you need my help? Because my soul wants to live. Huh? Soul don't want to shake it no more. Huh? Soul don't want to bend it up no more. Soul don't want to turn it back no more. My soul just simply wants to live. Huh? Jesus, come to me. I'm life. My soul wants to live, right? Jesus, now call on me. Call on me. Open up your mouth and call on me. Be ye lifted up. Your everlasting, the door of your mind. Open up your mind and let that inner man call on Jesus. Let it stop coming from your lips. Yeah, it's close when you saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But you got to get that mind. You got to get to that controlling part of your body and let that thing be lifted up. Lift that we're out of the earth. Oh, because ain't nothing down here but death. You need to be lifted up, right? And see the Lord with some strength. See the Lord with a powerful grip. That's how I thank the Lord. The Lord been keeping me saved since 1987. Say, Elder Scudder, what has kept you all these years? Because the Lord has shown me. He's got a powerful grip. Have I been tempted? Yes. Have I failed? Yes. Have I come up short? Yes. But something inside of me wants to live. And every time that devil tries to take me down, I got a mind to look up to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me, right? Jesus, help me. Huh? Help me, Jesus. Help me, why? Because I don't want to die. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die in my error. Knowing that you have already told me in the word, you are preparing your throne for judgment. You are going to judge this world in righteousness. That was the Lord say, right? He is going to judge this world in righteousness. Come on, saints. That's enough to motivate you to get right, isn't it? Something to think about, isn't it? Come on, give me a little bit more. I got to get ready to go.
Back over to Genesis.
Yes, back over to Genesis.
And it says here, for thou God know that in the day that ye eat thereof.
Yeah, this is that devil talking. Mm-hmm. Devil done told her, you're not going to die. No. Now that's a direct opposition to what Jesus said. Because Jesus done told you, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely. And then the Lord put that word surely there.
Did he?
I don't want to quote it wrong. I don't want to quote it wrong. Go back over to Genesis chapter number 2. 2 and verse number 17.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely.
That word surely means truly.
Yes.
In other words, you can be certain of this thing. Now Adam and Eve, after they finished eating that fruit, they noticed they didn't stop breathing. They said, hold up. I didn't stop breathing. You look different. Let me sow some fig leaves up to cover myself up from you. But I'm still moving. But something was different. When the Creator came in their midst. God Himself, the Supreme One. Scripture said He woke from His Sabbath rest. And that word that was already flowing in the garden. Because when I tell y'all last Sunday, we need that word. That word is flowing in the air right now. That word, whether we in here or out there, the word is still flowing. What needs the word? The birds need the word. Them ants need the word. That flea need the word. That dog need the word. If you ain't got no word, you ain't got no life. Even out there in that cemetery, I see the word of God. Why? Because if you dig up that dirt, you'll see worms still crawling around that place of death. That lets me know the word is powerful. Death can't stop the word, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Death can't stop the word.
Oh,
no, it can't. You get saved like you're supposed to be saved, even though we bury you in that casket and we put that casket 6 feet down in the ground. I'm telling you, the power of the word will get your body back up off that grave. Oh, God said one day I'm going to call. Oh, and you are going to answer, right? The power of the resurrection. Death don't stop that word. Word is powerful.
Amen.
Huh? Word is powerful.
Jesus.
All you got to do is just reach out and say, Lord, I want it.
Yes.
Reach out in faith. Say, Lord, I want it. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you want? Huh? Come on. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, Stephen, what do you want? Don't be afraid of the answer. Don't be ashamed of the answer. Because some folks say, well, I really want money. I really want this. I really want that. I'm trying to wake you up out of sleep. That way seems right. But the end of it is death. What do you want? What do I need to have? I'm trying to tell you, the most important thing to you is life. You want to live. And the only one that can help you live is Jesus, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
The only one to help you live is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look in that mirror and say, I want to live. Keep it real simple. Don't be complex. Just keep it really simple. I want to live. And keep telling yourself, every time that devil keeps trying to tempt you, trying to get you to enter into the temple, you just keep telling, no, I want to live. Come on, say, do life get hard? Yes. There are things that are going to hurt your body? Yes. But something inside of you has got to keep saying the same thing over and over again. I want to live. Come on over here, Stephen. We having so much fun. No, I want to live. What you talking about? Live. We living. This is life. This is winning. No, I want to live. Jesus done told me the wage of sin is death. I want to live. Right? Don't let that devil make you think sin is so pretty that it don't result into something else. Jesus done told you the wage of it is what? Even though Eve ate of that tree, which was already pretty to look at, it wasn't like they ate that fruit and it was nasty. It was good. It'd be something different if it was a rotten looking fruit. Then you say, oh no, I don't want none of that. But I'm trying to tell you, that's not how the devil show up. Devil don't show up and nothing looking rotten and nasty. He know just what you like.
Thank you, Jesus.
He know just what you like. He know just what to drop in your ear. I'm trying to tell you how sin works. Hope y'all, you look at them. I told y'all that they done told you that this man, this woman done won the presidency. All you heard in the street, yes! Firecrackers and everything. And what I tell y'all the next day, I said, don't worry. The real you going to come out. Next day, what you see on the news, such and such got shot. Such and such is dead. Such and such was in a horrible, terrible accident. Death. Huh? Death. Wage of sin. Huh? Ain't nothing pretty to look at.
No,
nothing pretty to look at. Wage of it is death. Huh? The devil knows it. Devil knows it. Devil knows it. He says, just stay out. That devil don't even care about you coming to church. He don't care about that. He don't care about you coming to church. He don't care about you carrying no Bible. You be the best Bible toter in earth.
Yeah.
Huh? What I tell y'all last Sunday, coming out the liquor store, talking about God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Huh? Don't let me stop and tell you about my God. Huh? me like this. Go right on, child. Tell it, tell it. Tell it like I like it. Huh?
Yeah.
Why? Why does he tell you to go? Because he knows you still in your sin. And he knows all that Jesus you talking. It ain't erased the sin. Because the only thing that can remove sin is the blood of Jesus. Huh? Y'all understand that? That will let you go on there. Go on, get baptized. Go on, get yourself baptized. Now, oh, go. Who else want to be baptized? I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, my sister, my brother. We're so happy that you gave your life to Christ. Oh, the angels in heaven are rejoicing that you gave your life to Christ. Oh, I know, I'm feeling so grateful and glad for you. Oh, we're going to take you down in the water. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Oh, he died for our sins. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. We're going to baptize you in the name of Jesus' Father, God the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Come. Oh, feel so fresh. Feel so new. Huh? 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 But you didn't say no name. You didn't say the name. Remember, salvation is where? Huh? You got to go down in the water in the what? My wife didn't take on my titles. Huh? She didn't become Tawana, Dionysia, father, brother, son. Huh? You took on my name. Huh? Last I checked, that was on the marriage certificate. You took on my name.
Right.
She dropped pool.
Yeah.
She threw pool to the side. Huh? Oh, yes, she did. Oh, yes, she did. She threw it to the side.
Yes.
And she said, now I'm a scutter.
Yes.
She walked around proud with that name now, right?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm a scutter. That's right. That's why I had to run my house. Fellas, go talk. People go all in the street. The men come talk to them. How you doing, miss? I go right on in the house. You don't stand there and say, no, because she got my name.
Right.
I ain't worried about it.
Mm.
Huh? Man, you go fool around and tell them, you get close enough to you and want to, she going to put some Jesus good on you. She going to put some good Jesus on you. So I just had to go in the house and smile. And say, they don't even know they're getting themselves into it. Before it gets started, before in here, she going to give you the plan, right? Huh? You look so nice. Oh, and she goes, I thank Jesus. Now you need to get your soul right. Do you go to church? Huh? Do you go to church? Huh? Oh, yeah. Something. Oh, no, don't run away from me. Do you go to church? Huh? Have you got your sin washed away? Oh, God, I've been baptized. How did you go down in the water? What did the preacher say? I don't even remember like everybody else. No. You need to know what the preacher said when he took you down in the water. That's like a woman saying, I don't know what my husband's last name is. That's foolish, isn't it? Las Vegas is full of that. Folks go over there and get drunk, get high. They wake up with rings all on their fingers. Don't even know what happened. They had a little video. I'm going to let y'all go. My time is done. They had a little video. Girl passed out drunk. Passed out. I mean drunk. They dressed her up, put a ring on her finger, you know, put all kind of pictures in her lap. And the man put on an old man's costume. And he laid on the floor beside her. Her friend did. And she jumped up. And the friends came, congratulations. She walks to chill. What? She said, you don't remember you got married. She said, no, I didn't. She said, look at your hand. She said, who put this on my finger? They said, well, look at your clothes. She said, where did I get this outfit from? You know the picture? She said, oh, well, who is he? She turned on some old looking wrinkle. She said, oh, no. Why? She didn't even know the man's name. So drunk. As I tell you, see, but I'm trying to tell you, when she was throwing it back, sin wasn't even on her mind. Huh? You go back a couple of hours, and you tell her, oh, no, you need to stop that drinking. She'd be like, just get out of my face. You are a loser. But then when it was finished with her, That's a different story, right? The reality kicked in. Huh? So you got to go down in that water in the name. That preacher has got to say, I baptize you now in the name of Jesus Christ. That buries you with him. You need to be buried with Jesus. We are buried with him by baptism. And what's the benefit of being buried with him? We'll rise. Don't you want to rise together with Jesus? He conquered death. He's the one that looked at death and said, when is your sting, right? He said, I've got the keys to both what? Hell and death. It's best to be attached to Jesus.
Yes.
I was like, don't you go down in that water if you ain't ready. It'd be the worst thing for you.
Right.
You'll bring a curse on yourself. Because
yeah.
Here you are going back out there trying to sin with the name on you.
Jesus.
And ain't nobody even around you. You sin don't even feel right no more. Mm-hmm. You used to be able to sin. And I think about it. Now you're all in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
amen.
If Jesus comes to me, I know I'm going to hell.
Right.
You even go try to go to another church and hide. People stand up, yeah. All in the back of your mind, say, he didn't say nothing about the new birth.
Yeah, amen.
They be looking at you. Yeah, ain't that right? Amen. You be something like, he didn't say nothing about the new birth. No Jesus. There's no Jesus. How'd you feel about service? You just like, you coming back? I got to go talk to the pastor. Go talk to the pastor then. I want to know, well, pastor, how are you baptizing people? Sister, how do you want to be baptized? Will you just do whatever Spirit leads us? Whatever makes you. Remember that fella told me? Well, however you feel like being baptized. We take some people down in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We take some people down in Jesus' name. We just take some people down and just happy. Man, you on your way to the pit, though. Huh? It seemed right. But the end. Did I write that scripture? Y'all see it right there on your paper. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways. Does that make sense? Makes sense. All right. Now this guy's going to stop. And I already told you, we got to have the Holy Ghost. Huh? You can't get by that. Coming to church is not going to get you the Holy Ghost. You got to wait. You got to tarry. That word tarry means to wait. Wait until you be endued with what? Power. From on high.
Thank you.
Lord says, whosoever should do what? Call on the name. You got to get somewhere and call on the name of Jesus. And I mean, keep invoking that name until that name saturates your mind. Until it takes control of you, right? That's true. Say, well, I called him already for an hour. Do you have the Holy Ghost yet?
Nope,
we got to call him some more. But I just got a good. You be like them little kids here. We tell them, say, y'all pray just for a little while. And then the fellas say, Jesus. He be looking at me, Jesus. Am I done yet? I'm trying to get us adults to stop behaving like children. Say, when I was a child, I thought as a child. That's why we let them pray for about 5 minutes. And we say, get on up. He said, "Go. We're going to go draw and do whatever you want. Have a nice little time. Just be quiet." But the adults be looking. I said, adults, don't you be looking around to see. Are you going to get me up yet? First of all, don't get on that way. You got the freedom of choice. Nobody made you come. You can get up with it. Nobody. You ain't got no shackles down there. It ain't like we sit you down or you get you on your knees and put a weight on you. Say, so you going to pray 30 minutes. You get up and walk out if you want. We've had them get up and pray and say, Jesus. I got to go. All right. Take care. Glad to see you. Well, how much longer y'all going to be? Till we hear from Jesus. Till we hear from the Lord. Right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Stay on down there till you hear from the Lord. Sometimes it'd be good when people's minds is going out in the dining room for a minute. so we can get our minding. And when everybody's mind is on one accord, it seems like the Lord's spirit just moves from heart to heart. You just lose sense of time. You really do. You don't even think about what time it is. It feel like you done been with the Lord for hours. And you done been out there for 20, 30 minutes. Lord done elevate, allowed you to sit in heavenly places. Let you know, that's why good prayer lets you know after you finish praying like you're supposed to, you should get up with the confidence that all things work together for good. Don't you get up till you feel like that, right? Say, Elder Scott, I still got doubt in my mind. Stay down there. Stay down there and keep calling Jesus in. Don't you get up until the Lord delivers you, right? Till you hear from him, right? Prayer is your line of what? Communication. You want to hear from the Lord, right? I don't want no dial tone. I want to call Jesus and get an answer. Thank you, Jesus. I thank the Lord put me somewhere where folk weren't tired of tarrying. They were willing to just stay there with me and labor, encouraging me. Son, keep lifting up your hands. Call on his name. Call on his name. I told you that brother tarried with me. And sometimes his breath would be a little bit different. But you know, I had to get out of myself. I tell you, when I got out of myself, I didn't think about his breath. Got out of myself, I focused on Jesus. Before I knew it, I didn't even know who was around me. Lord started taking control of me, and I thank him, saint. I thank him for the mind to stay there until I was endued with power from on high. Why? Because if I didn't have that power, I would not be kept. Be doing all kind of devilish things. I told you all, you wouldn't want to know me as no sinner. Not what I know right now. I ain't got nothing to lose. Ain't no rings. You get on my nerves, you out of here. Fight, forget fight. You out of here. You gonna just kill him? I ain't got nothing to lose. I already know I'm going to hell anyway. Jesus. That's what I tell you, death row folks, they're both dangerous, brother. They both dangerous, man. All right, saints, I just got it done, kept y'all long enough. Trust you got something out of the word. This is why I give you papers, because I know I'm not going to get to everything. But you say, Elder Scott, what was your thoughts? Just go read the paper. What you see is what you get, right? Don't question it. Don't question it. Well, don't. You see, jump over to James. Look at James 1 and 26. Don't question it. Don't argue with it. It says what it says. James 1 and 26 is on your paper. Y'all tell me about it. It's on the paper. Third, fourth scripture.
If any man among you seems to be religious.
Oh, so religious. So holy looking. But doesn't know how to do what?
Bridle his tongue, but deceive his own heart. This man religious.
Don't back up from it. It's truth. Yeah. It's in the book. Yeah. So I got to gauge now to see just how righteous I am.
Right.
Do you know how to do what to your tongue?
Bridle it. Right.
I just had to tell him off. You should have learned how to bridle that.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost came in you, you should have learned how to bridle that.
Yeah.
Psalms 39:1 said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the what? You don't have to tell them off. The way the seems right says, tell them off. Cuss them out. Cuss them out. Who you think looking at you when you're doing all that? The devil just saying, oh yeah. Bring it on down.
Yeah.
He be throwing words in your mind.
Yeah.
You don't even know them words. You be throwing them out.
Right.
Just letting it come on. That devil just looking at you say, oh yeah, that's my child. That's my child. Then after you do it, somebody come up to you and say, oh, you a real, you shouldn't have treated that person like that. I know. But I thought you was in a church. I am. What are you talking about? I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that. Jesus got angry, but you don't see not one cuss word come out of his mouth. Jesus got real angry. He beat them folk out the temple.
Yes, he did.
I ain't going to beat you with no stick, but the Lord beat you. I'm trying to tell you, fool around, Jesus, don't get mad when the Lord starts putting the whipping on you. Because he will beat you real good. And he don't stop till he get ready to stop. All right, saints. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. We definitely thank the Lord.